right, so we started going through verse by verse, and took a couple weeks that I covered a few things. I covered the power and authority of apostleship, and went over how Paul's writing this letter to the church at Colossae. We're calling the name of this study the Epistle of the Last Days because of its relevance and its closeness to Laodicea. Laodicea is the last church age. And there's a lot of things that go on in the book that we can relate to in the last days, and so that's why we're kind of looking at it that way. And so Paul starts off the book with telling the church that he's writing to about his apostleship, who he was sent by. So we covered that, the power and authority of apostleship. All right, and then 2 weeks ago we covered grace and peace. So he starts off with his apostleship, talking about how God is the one that made him the apostle and sent him, the message that he was given. And then the verse number two, he's dealing with grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he starts off a lot of his letters this way. He mentions grace and peace a lot in his writings. These are two things that we have to have in the days we're living in. We've got to have God's grace, and we need his peace to get through what we're going through. Times are going to get worse. They're going to get bad. And our solution to getting through it is going to be God. It's going to be a closeness to God, a walk with him, and it's going to be his grace and his peace. Every day, just about, I'm seeing in the news in different places how the world is getting even nuttier and nuttier. I mean, just crazy things that you never thought you'd ever see. And these things are being pushed. The agendas are being pushed. The commercials. I mean, everything is pointing to an anti-God direction. And for you to stand up and be a Christian right now is offensive to other people. And they're not going to like it, and it's going to get harder and harder for some. For others, they're just going to stand up and do right regardless. We got to have God's grace in peace. So we covered all this. If you need any of these, fill out, see me afterwards. If you missed any of these papers, I can get them to you. All right, so tonight, what I would like to start on is pick up on verse number 3. I believe it's there on your paper. Yeah, here we go. All right, does that match the paper you just got there? So everybody should have their binders, adding these papers to it. By the time we get done, you'll have a whole commentary on the book of Colossians with your notes included in it. All right, so Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. And what we're doing Wednesday nights here is going through the book of Colossians. And we're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to teach doctrine, and we're also going to look at spiritual application. So this is a little bit different than what we would have a Bible Institute setting, but because I am going to pause some Wednesdays and maybe just preach a message out of these passages. So we're going to be looking at spiritual and doctrinal applications. There's three applications to all Scripture. There's historical, that's actually took place. Paul actually wrote this letter, actually wrote the Colossians. During that time, they were physically dealing with some of the things we talked about. And then there's a historical application. There's a doctrinal application. That's the doctrine by which we base everything off of. And then there's a spiritual application. And so the doctrinal application of what we're dealing with is a letter to the church age. Who we are. We get our doctrine from these books that Paul wrote. Now, if you go over to the book of Hebrews, that is written to the Hebrews. And that doctrinal application is the tribulation. And so the book of James is written to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. That is a doctrinal application to the tribulation of the Jews that are scattered in the tribulation. So right here, the doctrinal application is for us today. Anything we read in here needs to be applied to us today. All right, so verse number 3, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Let me get over there myself. The Bible says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So in his opening remarks to this church here in to Colossae, he's already told us about his apostleship. He's talked to them about grace and peace that we're going to have. And then he lets them know that he thanks God for them and that he's praying always for them. And that is an encouragement as a Christian to know that somebody else is praying for you. And I hope it would be to our church when we hear, hey, we're praying for your church. We're praying for your family. That should be an encouragement. So Paul starts off his letter, and he's going to have to deal with some heresies that are around, maybe not necessarily in the church, but could infiltrate the church. And he's wanting to start off by telling them that he's praying for them. And so we ought always to participate in prayer in different ways. And I've got a few different things here to jot down. Make sure my pen works here. Not that pen. All right, so we should participate in praying for others also. And we can do that in a few different ways. One is corporate prayer. And I don't have time to go over all the verses. I had some verses I was going to try to write down with this. That's an A, but for some reason my pencil. Corporate prayer. There's times and verses that Paul mentions that himself and some other men were joined together in prayer for these different churches or for individuals. And so corporate prayer. What we did tonight was corporate prayer. Now, I hope and pray that everybody in here, whenever I was praying, that you were praying also. This time, this prayer meeting night, I know one person normally, one of the men get up and we'll pray over the list out loud. But this is a time for everybody in here to pray. Saturday nights, on Saturday morning, this coming Saturday, and Saturday nights going forward, we want to have a church corporate prayer. Now, on Saturday nights, it might not be one person leading in prayer. We're all just going to spread out and get our prayer list, and we're all just going to pray together. You pray out loud, pray quiet. No matter how you pray, as long as you're talking to God. And sometimes people pray out loud, and that's fine. And they're talking to God, and sometimes people start listening to somebody else praying out loud. But the important thing is that we're all praying. And I think it's important to have corporate prayer. We should have corporate prayer in the church. We should have corporate prayer in our family. There needs to be time set aside in our family. You said you don't have kids, it's just me and my wife. You ought to have a time to pray with your wife at least once a week. I think you ought to pray with her every day. That doesn't always happen with schedules and things like that. But you need to have a time to hold her hand, hold his hand, and y'all pray together. Pray for family, pray for the church, pray for different things. It don't have to be the whole list that you do in your private prayer. But corporate prayer is very important. I believe it builds unity in a church. It'll build unity in a marriage and unity in a home. So corporate prayer is something that we need to participate in. We have a prayer list, and we have a list for a reason. There's people that need prayer. And we give that out so that as a church, we'll all pray for these things. If we can pray in this building together, then we can go home and pray for these things together while we're apart. So corporate prayer. And then another type of prayer here is a closet prayer. A closet prayer. I try to have all C's on these. So a closet prayer is going to be your personal prayer life. This is an area that I told you before a few weeks ago when I was preaching, I preached on prayer, that I believe we're lacking at our church and maybe in Christianity, but this thing of prayer, man, we got to talk to God about what's going on. So, well, God knows about it. I'm telling you from Genesis to Revelation, God wants you to talk to him about what's going on. You have not because you ask not. Brother Bill Grady, he wasn't able to make it, and we need to pray for him, by the way. They're having a funeral for son, I believe, tomorrow. But he gives an illustration of a man going to heaven. And, of course, Brother Grady goes into an elaborate story when he's telling the story. But the short story is the man goes to heaven, and Peter's showing him around heaven. None of this is scriptural. This is just something. But Peter's showing him around and showing him different rooms and different things, and he goes, what's in that room? We keep walking past it. And the angel said, well, you know, or Peter said, you can't go in that room. Don't look in there. You can't go in there. Well, the curiosity got the guy, and he kept trying to go over there. Well, finally, he snuck off and went in there and walked in that room and saw just just all these things and all these just tons of things and tons of blessings. And Peter runs in there and grabs and pulls him out of there and slams the door shut and said, "You were not supposed to go in there. What were you doing in there?" And that guy said, "What was all that and why can't I go in there?" And he said, "Well, those were all the things that God wanted to give you, but you didn't ask for them." That's, again, not scriptural, but God wants to do all kind of stuff for you, but he's not going to do it against your will. And we ought to have closet prayer. You ought to take time, corporate prayer, closet prayer. These prayer lists that we give as a church is a good start. That's for our church, things we mentioned. You ought to write things down. But you ought to have a list of stuff you're praying for. I believe we should each have something we're praying for that even nobody else knows about. Sometimes it's good to have that. God answered a prayer for me recently that nobody knew about, including my wife. And you know, those are little times in our life where I say, "Well, God's listening to me." I can say, "Brother Carl, would you please pray for this?" And every little thing I have, I ask Brother Carl to pray. And I believe he would. And then God will answer it. I say, "Man, I'm glad Brother Carl was praying for me." But it would be nice if sometimes I had something I was praying about, and then God answered it. I said, "You know what? God's listening to my prayer. And I'm thankful." And I know he does, but it's nice to get confirmation. And he did one for me recently. We ought to have closet prayer and praying. All right? And then as far as types of praying, we ought to have times where we have a crying prayer. Crying prayer. I did it again, Miss Erica. Didn't I? No, I didn't. Okay, good. Did I spell it right? All right, a crying prayer. You say, what's that? Where our heart is broke and we're talking to God about it. I don't know if that happens as often as it should, where we go to God with a broken heart over an individual that needs to be saved, over somebody that's backslidden. When we stop for a moment and consider, things are bad in this world, but hell is going to be awful. And there's people that if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. And if we really would stop and consider it, stop thinking about ourselves long enough, we start thinking about our loved ones, it'll cause tears. And so I believe there needs to be times that we participate in prayer that is crying prayer, where we're passionate about it. I went to a revival last week, one night, to help support a local preacher that was preaching there. And the pastor of the church, hearing the invitation, went down and he was burdened for his church. And he was weeping. I mean, there was a puddle of tears on the altar. And you know what that was? That was crying prayer. He was brokenhearted and he went to talk to God about it. And we ought to have that. I mean, we say we're concerned for all these people, but I wonder when the last time we shed a tear talking to God. And this kind of prayer it goes beyond, "Lord, I'm going to sleep. Thank you for the day." Or, "Lord, thank you for this food." It's spending time with God and getting down to your emotions and how you feel and talking to God about it. It's not just talking to somebody in passing. You're talking to the best friend you'll ever have, to someone that's a father to the fatherless, to someone that'll be the closest friend you'll ever have, a crying prayer. All right, the next type of prayer we should have is a calling prayer. Oh, it does. I don't know why this. All right. A calling prayer. I got out there calling people's names out. Listen, sometimes we don't know what to pray for somebody, but you still mention their name to the Lord. Calling out their name. I do the best I can. There's sometimes I don't know what to pray, but I do the best I can every single day to mention every man, child, and woman's name in our church. Some days I have an idea of what I need to pray a little extra. Some days I don't have a clue, but I still try to call their name out. I know for the children, every day, every child of this church, I pray that they would get saved at a young age, that they would fall in love with God, fall in love with their Bible, and fall in love with church. That's what I pray for every child every day when I mention their name. I mean, I've been praying for Lindley before I knew if it was a boy or a girl. And now that I know, I call her name out and pray every day that they would get saved at a young age, fall in love with God, fall in love with their Bible, and fall in love with church. I know of a lot of kids today that are saved but they don't love anything to do with the things of God. They just don't. I mean, they're not excited about church. Maybe their parents is the reason why. I don't know what the reason is. But I don't want the kids of our church and my kids just to be saved. I want them to fall in love with God, the things of God. I want them to have a desire for the things of God. And so a calling prayer. You ought to mention people's names. You know, we don't need to have a generic prayer, especially the people that we love and care about. And there's people in our families that we need to mention their name to the Lord and call their name out. All right? And then the last thing, this kind of encompasses a lot of what we're dealing with here, is a caring prayer. Caring prayer. And this is when you go to God and what you're talking to Him about is something that you care about, and it's not just a generic thing. You understand what I'm saying? When you're talking to God about being a caring prayer and not just a nonchalant. I mean, there's a joke about somebody praying, wondering if their prayer got above the ceiling. You know, I've even been in church before, and they'll say, "Hey, Brother Carl, do you think you can get one up there?" You know, what are we doing in Christianity? That's a joke. Amen. When we talk to God, it ought to be a care. When we pray to Him, it ought to be that we know we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking to the Creator of the universe. And not only that, I'm talking to my Savior, my Father, my friend. It ought to be a caring prayer, not something that's just nonchalant and just going through motions. If all we're doing is going through motions, we're no better than a Catholic. Just repeating a pre-written prayer, a caring prayer. All right? So this was some of this. This is some of that spiritual application stuff I was talking about as we go through here. All right, so what about some of the things we ought to pray for? And we're praying for salvation from some things. Now, a saving is not just your soul salvation. That's the first one, praying for souls. And as you've heard me do, and you need, I encourage you to do the same thing. If you're going to pray for somebody, if you know that they're saved, pray that whatever they're going through draws them closer to Christ. There's people that go through trials and tribulations and they get bitter at God. They get angry at God. Sometimes they'll get out of church because of it. So I think we ought to pray for them. If I know they're saved or they say they're saved, pray that whatever they're going through draws them closer to God. That they would experience the peace and grace of God. That they would experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That they would experience those things. So we pray for those things. But if they're not saved or I don't know if they're saved, every time I pray for that person, it needs to be at some point in that prayer that they would get saved. Whatever it is they're going through. They got in a car accident, they lost their job, their mom passed away, whatever it is, if I don't know if they're saved, that prayer needs to come down to, Lord, would you use whatever they're going through to save them? Because it doesn't matter how much hurt they feel right now with whatever it is. That is nothing compared to eternity in a lake of fire. And so our praying needs to be for saving souls, that God would save a soul. And that's something we got to keep in mind. And if anybody ever asks you for a prayer request outside the church, or it's somebody that you just meet, or maybe you even know them, that's a great opportunity for you to ask them if they know where they're going to spend eternity. And try to turn that conversation towards them getting saved. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important. That they might stay sick, cancer might take them out, an accident might kill them. I mean, whatever it is that we're praying, what they ask prayer for, they may have to live with it for the rest of their life. But man, if they would get saved, that would sure fix their eternity. Eternity in a lake of fire is not going to be good. All right, so prayer for saving souls. Another prayer we need to pray is a prayer for saving from sin. Saving from sin. And this is a prayer that I pray for our church. I pray for my family. I pray for people in the church. Lord, would you please keep them right with you. Send conviction to them. If there's anything they need to be convicted about, Lord, would you please convict them. And we ought to pray this for ourselves. Lord, protect us. And keep us from sin. And so a prayer for saving from sin. This is a good thing. when you're praying for these individuals, got our prayer list, we're going out through here, these are things to try to remember. And I threw this last one in because this is one that just about every one of us deal with. I'm sure there's a few angels in here that don't have to deal with this. A prayer from self. How many in here, and you can raise your hand, as long as you're not talking about somebody in the room, know of somebody right now that is destroying their life because of their selves? I do. I know people right now, they're making bad decisions. I mean, their selfishness, they are destroying their family, destroying their marriage. And so the prayer is, Lord, would you please save them from themselves? And so these are good things that we ought to pray for. Now here's a few scriptures to go with these. Let's look some of these up. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Now listen, the rate that I'm going in the way I'm teaching this, we're going to be in Colossians for a while. So I pray you don't get bored with it. But we've been doing several weeks and we're only on verse 3. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. But I pray it's an encouragement to the church. I know me studying it has been a blessing to me. So, all right, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. But in everything by prayer. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This is an instruction to the church that everything that we do in this Christian life needs to be bathed in prayer. We need to talk to God about it. Every little thing, big decisions, little decisions, we ought to talk to God about it. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Many of you know this by heart. Pray without ceasing. And church, if you do not have a prayer life right now, as a church, I want to do better than we did last year. Corporate prayer. If you don't have a closet prayer, individual prayer, I strongly encourage you to get one and start developing an individual prayer life right now. And it's past due time, but things are going to start getting worse for Christians, all over. It's going to get bad. Things are going to get bad. And man, I tell you, it is nice knowing that I have God on my side and I can talk to Him about it. So if you don't develop that, for some people it is awkward to be by themselves and to talk to God. It's awkward just to even think about it. They've never really done it before. You say, how do I do it? Talk to them like you're talking to your best friend. Just go into it. Lord, no, I haven't done this like I should. And just start talking. And next thing you know, you can't shut up. Like, you'll just go on. I mean, if you've ever been in a really good time of closet prayer, next thing you know, you get caught away in just talking to God. Because whenever you can unload all your burdens on Him and the Holy Spirit's there fellowshipping with you, and you understand when you begin to pray for other people, you enter into the same exact ministry that Jesus Christ is involved in. Jesus Christ is making intercession on your behalf every day with God. And so if He's interceding for others and you are interceding and you're praying for others, you might just bump into Him in the prayer closet. Because you're in the same ministry together. So if you do not have that time of prayer and praying for others and praying for your family, start it now. Start it tomorrow. Get up earlier. Whatever you got to do, stay up late or whatever. Just get alone with God and just start talking to Him. And the more you do it, the easier it is. The easier it is. I can be anywhere, and if I need to, I can just start talking to the Lord. That's a comfort to know that I can do that. And you say, well, that sounds simple. You can just start talking to Him. Well, do it. And if you haven't done it, I'm telling you, you're going to feel a little funny about it. It's like going to meet a stranger. And there's people that are saved. They're going to heaven. God saved them. They did what the Bible said to be saved, but they don't have a relationship with God that they can talk to Him about anything. They would much rather put it on social media, or they would rather call somebody and say, would you please pray about this? And there's nothing wrong with asking other people to pray, but some people do that because they can't talk to God about it themselves. They don't even know how to. And so you need to develop a prayer life and talking to God. Pray without ceasing. All right, church, with that, we're going to close in prayer. Let's all stand. Lord willing, next week, hang on to your papers, put them in your thing. If anybody needs any extra copies of anything, please let me know. We'll try to get it to you. And next week, we'll look at verse number 4, Lord willing. All right?